Healing is an essential and fundamental part of the gospel message. It's all about restoration to a state of full health and well-being. This embraces the individual as well as entire communities and even nations. It encompasses physical, mental, and spiritual wellness, that is, holistic healing. About 80% of the direct miraculous works associated with Christ's earthly ministry involve physical healing. Jesus healed all manner of sicknesses and disease. He restored paralytics, returned people to a right state of mind, made the lame to walk, opened the eyes of the blind, raised the dead. He also came to enable people to be converted and thus healed from within. Referring to the general state of unbelief that existed amongst the Jews at the time of his earthly ministry, we read the words of Jesus as recorded in Matthew 13, verse 15. "For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." So Jesus made a fundamental connection between healing and conversion, the latter referring to the inward change necessary to be made right with God. Healing is of such importance that if we take it away from the gospel message, the entire fabric of the gospel falls to the ground, including salvation itself. There are many examples of Jesus healing the sick recorded in the gospels. We read in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." A direct quotation from Isaiah 53 and verse 4. We read in Acts 10 verses 36 through to 38, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Again, in this instance, we see the connection between the preaching of the gospel and the healing of individuals. Likewise, the early church prayed for, expected, and experienced divine healing. It was an integral part of their experience and ministry. Acts 4, verses 29 to 31. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Mark 16, verses 15 to 20 records the promises of Jesus that miraculous signs would follow his true believers. These signs were to be evident throughout the entire gospel age, right up to the return of Jesus Christ. They would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. This is one of the evidences always accompanying the preaching of the true gospel. There is absolutely no reason why this should not remain the case today. In fact, as we read in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. In 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28, we are informed that God has set various functions within the church. One of these functions is nominated as the gifts, plural, of healings, plural. These are separate healing manifestations God grants as part and parcel of the ministry of the church, the body of Christ in action. Jesus did promise that the same works that he performed during his earthly ministry would be continuously active in his believers during the gospel age. After Christ's resurrection and ascension into heaven, he poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit with mighty signs following on the day of Pentecost. As a result, the early church continued Christ's miraculous ministry, including miraculous healings. In Acts chapter 3, we read details of the first recorded post-resurrection healing miracle performed by members of the church. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Miraculous healings are amazing evangelical signs. They result in great wonder amongst the people. People can argue over beliefs, doctrines, and practices, but it's very hard to argue over an obvious, miraculous healing that is witnessed firsthand. This is the power of God's testimony. God's plan of restoration and healing is far-reaching. We all recognize that there are many ills in this world. We all know that there is a great need for healing. Yet the answers are not to be found in man himself. We need God's intervention. We need to acknowledge our Creator, God Almighty. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to heal individuals and to restore and heal the nations across the globe. God's ultimate goal for mankind will be fulfilled. We read in Revelation 22, the last book of the Bible, the description of a vision of God's coming kingdom. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. What a revelation and what a blessing in the coming restoration and establishment of God's glorious kingdom on earth. It remains now for us to ensure that we become part of that everlasting kingdom by responding positively to the Word of God.